Good morning. It's Friday. Welcome to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. Great to be back here with you on Holy Spirit Radio. We've got a great show lined up for you today. Speaker and author Kevin Lowery will be with us later in the hour. He's going to talk about how God hauled him kicking and screaming into the Catholic Church. We've got some music. We've got the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. And we also have some words from Pope Francis. We must practice what we preach. Boy, that's a tough challenge, isn't it? We're going to talk about what exactly the Holy Father said in his Wednesday audience. I think that's good advice for all of us. We must practice what we preach. Sometimes it's easier to preach than it is to practice. I know I run into that problem all the time. With me in the studio is my trusty sidekick, my buddy, the man with the golden voice, Mr. Dave Parker.
Thank you, Gary. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Dave. A little bit nasally today,
yeah,
struggling with some sinus issues.
Yeah, well, I think there's some stuff going around, so a lot of our listeners, I hope they don't have it, but if they do, it's, it hits you fast.
Yeah, that's right. So we're going to go easy on you today, Dave.
All right. Well, Gary, I can... If I can't talk, I'll give you a sign, and you may be happy for that.
All right, Dave, as long as you say you're up for the challenge. Eagles-Seahawks this weekend, what do you think?
Ooh,
the battle. At Seattle, Eagles are 5-4, Seattle's 6-2-1.
Well, I know we need this. Mm-hmm. We always, we need to keep a positive streak going. I'm going to go with our Eagles, our birds.
All right,
not the other birds.
All right, I'm with you. If you say Eagles, I'm for the Eagles too. That game's going to be at 4:25 on Sunday, so it should be interesting. We'll talk more about it on Monday. Although now I remembered what I said earlier this week, that I'm going to start making my Eagles predictions on Monday. I think it's a lot safer.
Yes.
So maybe I will defer my prediction until Monday.
All right.
See, I might be dumb, but I'm not stupid. I have ideas here. Another thing, we've been sending out the word, a couple of words, actually. I've been asking for responses, and I'm really getting them. When should we begin playing Christmas/Advent music? Keep the responses coming. I really appreciate your comments. We're getting a lot of comments sent to me at Gary@HolySpiritRadio.org, and I have an idea. I think the Holy Spirit's leading me in a certain direction, but I want to continue to hear your words. Gary@HolySpiritRadio.org. I do want to promise you one thing. During the Advent season, we are going to celebrate Advent here. I'm not going to... A lot of the comments are, please don't over-commercialize Christmas. We're not going to do that here. There's no doubt we are going to be getting you prepared to welcome Jesus during Advent. No doubt. That doesn't mean you might not hear a traditional Christmas tune sprinkled in along the way. Christmas means a lot of things to a lot of people. You know, we are... certainly spiritual beings, but we also have a body, we have feelings. We're going to tap into all of that on this show. It's uplifting. It's an uplifting time of year. We're getting ready to welcome Jesus. So we're not over-commercializing things here, but I do want you to get into that spirit of anticipation as we welcome Jesus. So I'm still deciding. The Holy Spirit's still working with me. You're still giving me your suggestions about when we're going to do this. But rest assured, we're not rushing into anything. We're not going to forget about Jesus during Advent. You're going to be hearing a lot about Jesus during Advent on Spirit in the Morning. But continue to send me your requests at Gary@HolySpiritRadio.org. Also, trivia questions. If you want Dave Parker to ask me a trivia question on the air, we're still very open to hearing what you have to say. Maybe you have a local Philadelphia question. Maybe you have a sports question. Maybe you have a strange but true question. Send those directly to Dave Parker. His email address is DaveParker@HolySpiritRadio.org. I want to keep things on the up and up, Dave. I don't want to be influenced. I don't want to get these questions. I want them to go directly to you.
Okay.
That way we're fair. Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I'll be the clearinghouse. I'll be the collector.
Exactly. All right. So please keep those coming as well. DaveParker@HolySpiritRadio.org. Sorry to give you some work, but you know, you're a big part of the show. We like to involve you in the show, and we really value your input. Okay, it's time for prayer. I would ask you to please join me. And before we begin with this prayer, I want you to remember something. This is so easy to forget. Right now, wherever you are, God is present with you. He's present with you. We forget that sometimes. We don't need to do anything special to make him present. He's going to be present no matter what. What happens is, though, is we forget that he's with us. So take a few minutes and just put yourself in the presence of the Lord. Just recall that you're in his presence, I should say. And we begin together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for giving us a new day. We thank you for the blessings in our lives. We thank you for sending your Son Jesus, who on this day 2,000 years ago suffered and died on a Friday at Calvary. And by doing so and by rising from the dead, he opened the gates of heaven for us. So, Father, we are grateful for that gift. We're grateful for the fact that you help us, that you're with us, that you show your mercy upon us, that you unconditionally love us. We're grateful for the fact that we live in a free country. We're grateful for our health, if we have it. We're also grateful for the crosses in our lives, because we know that these crosses unite us more closely to you. And we know that we can cooperate with you and your work by offering up any suffering that we face. We ask you to continue to help us as we walk the road which one day will lead to heavenly life. We ask you to give us the strength that we need to boldly proclaim our faith. And Father, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit to come alive in me today, to come alive and speak through me on this program. Please open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. And we ask for all of these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Well, did the prayer a little bit differently today. I like to mix it up sometimes. A lot of times we start the program with St. Augustine's prayer to the Holy Spirit. Very important prayer. Very important prayer to the folks at Holy Spirit Radio. And very important prayer to myself as well. But sometimes, and one of the reasons I do this, I want to let you know that we can pray in many different ways. And sometimes people will ask me, Gary, how do I pray? I don't know how to pray. I'm not a good prayer. How can I do it better? You don't need any formal training to pray. Prayer is a conversation. It's a relationship between you and the Lord. So just talk to him. Formal prayers are great, but you can deviate that from that throughout the day. You can talk to the Lord. Lord, I'm scared. I'm lonely. I'm worried about the future. I regret the past. Whatever it is, please give me the grace to be a nice person today. So many different ways to pray. What I recommend is that you just talk to the Lord each day. It's incredibly important. You're never going to get to know him unless you speak to him. So whether you're using formal prayers, spontaneous prayers, or a mixture of the two, which is probably a great idea, just make sure you're talking to him, okay? Make the time. Make the time. Any relationship, I should say, a relationship that any relationship that you want to flourish requires time. So if you want to get to know the Lord better, if you want your relationship with him to grow, you need to spend time talking to him. And I'm talking to myself too as well, because this is a struggle for me. Life has a tendency of getting in the way. Things can become very distracting in our lives. So let's just try to keep in mind that, hey, the Lord's here for us. Ask him about. Just talk to him and ask him for whatever you need today. Will you do that? I think it's going to make a huge difference in your life. Okay, I want to talk about the gospel now. Today's gospel from Daily Mass comes from Luke chapter 19, verses 45 through 48. Very kind of a short gospel today, but as usual, Jesus has a powerful message for us. And by the way, this will be linked at spiritinthemorning.com. Jesus entered the temple area and proceeded to drive out those who were selling things, saying to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." And every day he was teaching in the temple area. The chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people, meanwhile, were seeking to put him to death, but they could find no way to accomplish their purpose, because all the people were hanging on his words. There was something very powerful about Jesus, about his presence, about his words. People really listened to what he had to say. He spoke in a way that nobody else spoke. And this bothered certain individuals, such as the chief priests and the scribes. They didn't like the message. Now, it's not that these were bad people. They weren't necessarily bad people, but they had their own conception of how we should relate to God or how they should relate to God. And they got mad because Jesus was changing things up. He went into the temple and he saw some things that he didn't like. He realized that people were selling things and they were using the temple to make a profit for themselves by cheating the people. It's not just that they were selling things. They were trying to make an exorbitant profit at the expense of the people who were coming to worship God. He saw that. He saw that their hearts weren't in the right place, and he changed things. He spoke out. And many times we've heard the story of Jesus overturning the tables in the temple. You know, we could picture this however we want, but he saw something that was wrong, and he corrected it. That bothered people, certain people. They didn't like that. Now, the people who were listening to Jesus, they were really drawn to him, and they heard the message, but others didn't like what Jesus was saying. And what did they do? They tried to find a way to stop him. They tried to find a way to shut him up. We got to be careful. Now, you know, you look at this and you say, well, they were really wrong, and they were. But we do the same thing. Sometimes we hear the gospel message, and we don't like it. We close our ears. I'll be honest with you, I like some messages contained in the Gospels better than others. But if I really want to have that good relationship with Christ, and I do, I want to be his friend, then I have to be willing to hear everything that he says to me, even though I might not like it. In any relationship, that's the way it has to be. Any good relationship, that's the way it should be. You need to be willing to hear the other person. Now, on the other hand, here's another way we can look at this. Sometimes we have people in our lives who may not agree with us, who might not be with on the same page as we are in a spiritual sense. They might not be as into Catholic teaching as we are. They might not be into Jesus as much as we are. They might even be more into Jesus than we are. And oftentimes we look at them and we disregard their position because we don't agree with it. I think we need to learn, and we'll talk about this a little bit more in the next segment, as Pope Francis encourages us all the time, to at least understand the other person's position. Doesn't mean you compromise the truth, but what it means is you put yourself in the shoes of the other person and you recognize that you're called to love them and be charitable to them. We don't want to be getting in arguments when we're trying to evangelize. It happens all the time. Just go on Facebook or Twitter, and you're going to see that. Many well-meaning individuals, what they do is they start arguments. They evangelize, you know, and I've done this too, and I've regretted it. You go in with the right intentions. I'm going to talk about Jesus. Somebody disagrees with you, and you smack them over the head with your Bible or your catechism. We've got to be really careful not to do that. That's what the Lord does not want us to do. On the other hand, we also have to be willing to practice what we preach. If I'm talking to you about Jesus, if I'm talking to you about what it means to be a Christian, I better be living that, because if I'm not, you know what's going to happen? You're not going to listen to me. And all of my words, they're going to be ineffective. This is important. It's important for us all to like look inside and say, am I doing this? Am I practicing what I preach? Or am I just speaking a bunch of words that don't mean anything in my life? So how do you know what's right? Ask the Holy Spirit. We're big on that here at Holy Spirit Radio. We ask the Holy Spirit a lot. Holy Spirit, guide me, inspire me. Let me know what I should do. Let me know what I should say. I was praying that prayer as I was driving up, going down Street Road today, praying that prayer, saying, Holy Spirit, I know you have a message. I know you have a message for Spirit in the Morning today. After all, your name is in the title of the show. This is all about the Holy Spirit. So I said, Holy Spirit, you know better than I do what you want to say. Let me know what I'm supposed to say. You know, if you start doing that more, you'll feel his presence in your life. He really wants to help you. The Holy Spirit will guide you. Just make sure you ask for his help. Okay, does that sound good? Right now it's 7:14 on Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. When we come back, we'll talk about Pope Francis' words. We must practice what we preach. Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for November 18th. Today we celebrate the dedication of the churches of Saints Peter and Paul. Saint Peter's Basilica, probably the most famous church in Christendom, and Saint Paul's outside the walls, the largest church in Rome until Saint Peter's was rebuilt, are two of Rome's four major basilicas. Now massive in scale and a virtual museum of art and architecture, St. Peter's began when believers gathered to pray at St. Peter's tomb on Vatican Hill. In 319, Emperor Constantine built a basilica on that site that stood for more than 1,000 years. In 1506, when the original building was near collapse, Pope Julius II ordered it raised and reconstructed, but the new basilica was not completed and dedicated for another 2 centuries. St. Paul's outside the walls was first constructed under Constantine on the site where Paul is believed to have been beheaded. The current edifice was constructed in 1823 after a fire destroyed the original church. From the earliest days, believers have prayed at the tombs of Peter and Paul. Some of us may be among those so privileged. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found.
Are you awake yet? Man, how's that to get your Friday started? That's Amazing Grace by Ruben Studdard. You remember Ruben from the American Idol show? Boy, I was really into Ruben when he won. That's one of the favorites of my wife, Eileen. So, sweetie, I picked that up because you liked it. Amazing Grace, a very uplifting version by Ruben Studdard. You know, that's one of the things about this show. I try to mix up the music, give you all kinds of different music. And by the way, while it's on my mind, next Friday on the show, it'll be the day after Thanksgiving. On Thanksgiving, we're going to do a best of program so we could spend some extra time with our families. And Friday's show will be a pre-recorded show. It's going to be a little bit different. I'm going to just sit down and share some of the best music that I've played in the few weeks that we've been on the air and tell you a little bit about the music. I want you to know why I picked these songs, why they mean something to me, maybe a key word here and there, and we'll talk more about the music. So it's going to be more of a musical show next Friday. It's a special program. It's the day after Thanksgiving, and it gives me the chance to really sit down and talk a little bit more in depth about the music. And as long as I'm talking about next week, just want to let you know what's coming up next week. Monday on the program, we'll have author, speaker, blogger Kelly Mantone with us. She's going to tell us how to prevent holiday burnout before Advent even starts. And, you know, sometimes you hear all these ideas of what you should be doing for Advent and with your family, with yourself, things at your church. You get burned out before Advent really gets going. So Kelly is going to talk about how we can avoid that. Tuesday on the show, speaker and author Judy Klein will be with us. Judy has a book, Mary's Way, The Power of Entrusting Your Child to Jesus. She's going to be talking about that with us on the show. She lives in Louisiana. We'll be getting her on the program through on the phone. She'll be talking about how to entrust your child to Jesus. Wednesday on the program, it's a special show. We're going to have singer-songwriter Teresa Peterson in studio with us. So Teresa's going to be performing live in the studio. I always love it when we get to bring musical artists into the studio. Then Thursday, as I said, will be that best of program. Friday, a special music edition of Spirit in the Morning. And then I'll let you know what's coming up after that. I've got lots of great surprises coming up for you on Spirit in the Morning. Right now, the time is 7:23. Currently, it's 45 degrees at the Philadelphia International Airport today. It's going to be sunny with a high near 67. Tonight, clear, low around 46. Saturday, slight chance of showers after 4 p.m., but otherwise sunny with a high near 66. All right, I mentioned earlier in the program that I wanted to talk about this article that I saw on the internet. This comes courtesy of the National Catholic Register. Pope Francis, at his general audience on Wednesday, had some comments about the fact that we must practice what we preach. And we will have this linked at spiritinthemorning.com. But Dave, I want to get some of your thoughts on this as we go through this. Just let me hit on a couple of the points made through the article and the words of Pope Francis. Pope Francis, we're at the tail end of the Year of Mercy. So the Holy Father is reflecting on the spiritual works of mercy. He stated that especially it's important that we teach the faith and put up with the annoyances of others. It's very important, he said. However, we must first examine, and Dave, this is a key point, mm-hmm. our own consciences mm-hmm. and make sure we're practicing what we're preaching.
Oh, absolutely.
Tough sometimes, isn't it?
Oh, it's very tough. Yeah,
it's easy for me to tell you what to do, right, Dave? But mm-hmm. oftentimes I'm not living it out in my own life.
Right, and likewise. I've been there more often than I like to admit.
Yeah.
But we're human. But
right. It's a process.
Yeah, it's a process. But the Pope has a great message.
And here's one of the things he said. The need to advise, admonish, and teach should not make us feel superior to others, but first of all, oblige us to return to ourselves to see if we are consistent with what we ask of others.
No, absolutely.
Right?
Oh, yes.
That hurts a little bit.
That hurts.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, yeah. What about me? You know.
And then he goes on to say, do not forget the words of Jesus from Luke chapter 6. Mm-hmm. He said, why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden beam in your own? And in the gospel today, Dave, we saw the high priest who had a problem with some of the things Jesus was saying and doing, but they weren't looking at their own lives. Mm-hmm. We all can tend to do that. And again, it's not a bad news story. This is good news because it's just a matter of, let's reflect. Am I doing this? Am I really living out the gospel message? And at the same time, we do have a call to help others to understand what the church teaches. This is one of the spiritual works of mercy, but we don't want to do it in a way that we're looking down on people, and we want to do it in a way, and when the time is right, that really uplifts the person. Because if we love somebody, we want to help them. We want to let them know that, you know, maybe you should think about what you're saying here. We see a lot of the negativity on Facebook and Twitter. We just got to be careful about that. Now, the Pope reminded us that we are called in the spiritual works of mercy to counsel the doubtful, admonish the sinner, instruct the ignorant, and bear the wrongs of others patiently. I don't like that one. That last one, bear the wrongs of others patiently. I don't have time for that one, Dave. That's hard.
It is hard.
It's very challenging. But if I expect God to be patient with me, he expects me to be patient with others, right? Pope Francis, in this talk, praised catechists, who are the teachers of the faith, who go to great effort to help people grow in their faith, and he particularly singled out mothers and religious. Mm-hmm. And as parents, mothers and fathers, we all have a responsibility to teach our children, mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. teach them what Jesus would want them to do. But they're looking at us, too.
Absolutely.
And if we're not walking the walk, they're going to pick up on that.
Oh, absolutely. Very quickly, yes.
Right. The Pope said, when sometimes we are tempted to be annoyed by the people around us. No. Is that true? Or we complain about the shortcomings of others. Yep. Such as gossiping. Oh, boy. He said, in these situations, the first step must be to examine our own consciences to see if we at times can be annoying to others. Mr. Parker, let me ask you this over the air. Am I ever annoying?
Yeah, sometimes. Okay, yeah, right. Like I am. I know I am. I can't
say. It's true. It's true.
One thing comes to mind. I mean, in our approach to others, basically, St. Francis de Sales, I don't know if I'll get it totally right, but basically it's like, honey is better than vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
Be sweet.
That's
be,
right.
Use your discernment, and if you're counseling others, you know, vinegar
right.
is not good.
No, it doesn't work. The Pope also said Jesus is an excellent example of bearing wrongs patiently, and he noted how much patience he had to have in the 3 years of his public life. Absolutely. And then he goes on to talk about the Israelites in the desert when they complained. He said, we are very good at identifying a presence that is annoying, but frequently it's the people closest to us, the Holy Father said. But we need to ask ourselves, am I being annoying? What can I do to change my own life and help those around me to grow closer to the Lord? We have this article linked at spiritinthemorning.com. Going to take a break now. When we come back, Kevin Lowry will tell us how God hauled him kicking and screaming into the Catholic Church.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. A retired general who is a staunch critic of the Obama administration's handling of global affairs has been offered the job as National Security Advisor to President-elect Donald Trump. Lieutenant General Michael Flynn built a reputation in the Army as an astute intelligence professional. He believes the U.S. must be more aggressive toward the Islamic State group. The Holy Father's surprise pick for Cardinal, Archbishop Joseph Tobin, says the U.S. Church has 4 difficult years ahead as it insists on providing a refuge to migrants and refugees during the Trump administration. Tobin, as Archbishop of Indianapolis, publicly challenged Trump's vice president-elect, Indiana Governor Mike Pence, over his order to not resettle Syrian refugees in the state. Tobin refused, and last year, the Archdiocese settled the Syrian family in question, followed by 52 other refugees. In an interview yesterday, Tobin said the U.S. Church has been helping migrants resettle for more than a century. He said that a priority is, quote, going to be challenging in the next 4 years, and hopefully we will meet the challenge, end quote. And the weather delay has ended, and Iraqi troops are on the move again, albeit slowly, in their effort to snatch Mosul from Islamic State group extremists. Airstrikes, automatic fire, and artillery shattered the dawn, and one soldier was reported killed. Civilians could be seen fleeing in the fighting. ISIS is offering stiff resistance and claimed responsibility for a bombing that killed 10 people in Fallujah. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
My name is Joe Zimmerman, and my brother and I own Summers and Zims. We would be pleased to provide you with high-quality service for all your plumbing, heating, and air conditioning needs. We are pleased to serve the listeners in Westchester, Exton, Downingtown, Coatesville, and Kennett Square. Our phone number at Summers and Zims is 610-593-5129 or you can simply Google Summers and Zims. My prayer is that God would bless you through His Word as you listen to Holy Spirit Radio.
You are listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Real hope isn't happy talk. It's a world-changing force born out of pain and sacrifice. Take, for example, filmmaker Jason De Silva, who was diagnosed with a debilitating form of multiple sclerosis at age 25. Despite the bad news, he mustered up the courage to turn the camera on himself. The result was the Christopher Award-winning documentary, When I Walk. It provides a window both into his own battle with the disease and into the daily struggles of all people with disabilities. The film also becomes a love story when Jason meets and marries Alice Cook, who gives his spirit a needed infusion of joy. Through triumphs and tragedies, they carry the cross of MS together, giving witness to the power of selfless love. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Feel like I'm a nobody. Wonder if I'll ever amount to much. Seems like no matter what I do, it's never gonna be good enough. Should I just give up? Lord, I need to hear.
That was Tell Me by Carrollton. That's a brand new song. I'm Gary Zimek. You're listening to Spirit in the Morning. I love playing songs like that because it just reminds us that the Lord loves us. He talks to us. And you know what? The message is always good. The message is that I love you. I love you unconditionally. There's nothing you can do to ever change that. That makes me feel really good. So if you're struggling with anything today, you might feel a little unloved. You might feel lonely. Know that you've got the Lord in your life. He loves you. And it's not because of what you do. It's just because of who you are. He created you, he loves you, and he's always there for you. All right, I'm really excited. One of the neat things about my job here at Spirit in the Morning is I get to introduce some of my friends to you. And I've been blessed over the past 5 years of doing full-time ministry to meet many cool people. Kevin Lowry is one of the coolest of the cool people that I have met. You can find him online at gratefulconvert.com. Kevin Lowry is a convert to Catholicism. I love converts because they really appreciate the Catholic faith. I'm a cradle Catholic, and I've taken many things for granted, but guys like Kevin really get it. He's got a great story. He's the son of a former Presbyterian minister. He and his wife, Kathy, met at Franciscan University in Steubenville, one of my favorite places in the world, where they discovered the richness and the beauty of the faith. They have 8 children, and they live in the Columbus, Ohio area, great area. I've been there a few times. I'd love to get back there. Kevin was with a large CPA firm for many years, and he took on various executive roles, including serving as the chief operating officer of the Coming Home Network, which is Marcus Grody's organization. And Kevin was responsible for getting me to come on that show, and I was blessed to be able to share my story, my reversion story, with Marcus Grody. So I'm grateful for that. And they do some fine work, and he continues to work with them as its treasurer and in a consulting role while serving as the chief financial officer for RevLocal, a rapidly growing digital marketing company. Kevin is going to be talking today about his latest book, and I love the title, How God Hold Me Kicking and Screaming Into the Catholic Church. So, Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, Gary.
Hey, judging by the title of this book, you weren't fully cooperative with the Lord, cooperative with the Lord as he was dragging you into the church, kicking and screaming. That doesn't sound like you, brother.
Yeah, you know what? It's absolutely true, because it took probably the better part of 10 years from the beginning when I went to Franciscan U initially when I was 16 years old.
Right.
And I was far too young. And I really went there with a desire to join a fraternity and to have a really good time.
Wow.
And
wow.
Of course, I did that, and I did it almost too well, because in my third semester, I got a .549 GPA. So they invited me to take my non-academic pursuits elsewhere.
Whoa.
And that was really the beginning of the whole conversion story. So, you know, just as you were saying in your little lead in to this, you know, God's with us all the time. And even the thing that I marvel at now is that he can even take our stupidity and our sinfulness.
Wow.
And use it for good if we're just open to that.
Hey, that gives me hope, brother, especially the stupidity part.
You give us all hope.
But it's so true. That's such a true point. And a lot of times I think we get caught up in, I don't know enough. I'm too sinful. God can't use me. Look at the apostles, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And he can use any of us, and he can turn any of these seemingly bad experiences that we face into to use it for good. And I think that's something that we forget sometimes. Kevin, I want to touch on something you said in your book. You mentioned that, and by the way, it was a great book. You mentioned that the conversion process, this coming close to the Lord, is seldom linear. It can involve taking one step forward and 2 or 3 steps back. Can you elaborate on that a little bit? Because I think sometimes we think that, well, I've arrived now, my faith is at a certain point, and it's never going to go back. I'm never going to backslide. But we do backslide sometimes, don't we?
Well, of course, because, you know, the temptations of life don't go away, and,
right.
and the sins are all the same, even though we've sort of made them more efficient these days. But really, it's very typical for us to try to make some progress, but then, you know, there are always headwinds.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as we're able to, you know, attempt to move forward in the spiritual life, there are always going to be things or people or circumstances or, you know, or or the evil one who's going to be trying to get in there,
right,
and kind of smack us around a bit. And, of course, this does happen sometimes that we do backslide a little bit. But, you know, this is where, at least to me, the beauty of being Catholic
mm-hmm.
is that real, authentic, genuine, awesome conversion is available in your nearest confessional.
Right, right.
You know, and it's so cool because really then we get to begin again, which is the whole idea of conversion, is that it's not just a one-time event. Where,
exactly.
You know, when I was a kid, I gave my life to Christ, which is a good thing, right? There's nothing wrong with that.
Right,
That's, you know, making a decision for Jesus is good. But that the difficulty is, as human beings, we got to make that decision every day.
Wow.
And in some cases, many, many times per day.
Yeah.
But this is why conversion is really a process and not just an event. So it's, and again, it took me a long time. I was a slow learner. You know, it took me 10 years before I finally came into the church. And, you know, my parents, my dad was a Presbyterian minister, and my mom is just, you know, she's just a saint. My mom is, I've got the coolest mom ever. And it took them 30 years, and then they finally came into the church after my wife and I did.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. I love that word you used, process, too. I think that's one of my favorite words, because I'm a work in progress, and my conversion is ongoing, and it better be ongoing for the rest of my life, I think. We don't want to get to a point where we say, that's good enough, I'm converted, don't have to do any more work, right? And I think, Kevin, a lot of people do get, they lose hope sometimes, and I think that's such an important thing to remember. There's always hope. You messed up, big deal. That's what we have confession for. And in this year of mercy, we had a priest on earlier, Father Tim, from the Shrine of Częstochowa was on with us, and he talked about the fact that, yes, the year of mercy, the door of mercy is closing at this around the world at these various shrines, but the doors of the confessional remain open, right?
Exactly. That's right. And you know what? It's funny because, Gary, if we're losing hope, that means that something else is going on.
Yep.
You know, either we need to grow in humility, because
Wow. So,
and here's just one example. I mean, I went to Italy last summer.
Mm-hmm.
First time ever. My wife and I went together. It was the most incredible thing. You know, we always had more kids than money. So it took us like over 25 years of marriage to finally be able to make it over to Europe.
Right.
But it was so incredible to sort of be in the heart of the church when we did this pilgrimage around Italy, and we wound up in Rome, and we did, you know, all these amazing things. And the sense that I came away with was that even though, you know, I will have been Catholic 25 years this Easter,
right,
and I still feel like I'm just barely scratching the surface of everything that the church has to offer. And, you know, I listened to what you were saying about converts and everything. And, you know, it's interesting because converts, I think, have this great enthusiasm and this love and appreciation for the church because it's something that we've discovered. But at the same time, there are amazing advantages to being a cradle Catholic because you guys have things baked into you, so to speak,
that I'll
never get to. You've got just some elements of culture and ways of thinking and, you know, some really, really good things. So just because you're a cradle Catholic, I mean, we're all in this together. We all bring different gifts, but we can help one another along. So I love guys like you, and this is
oh, good.
One of the reasons that, you know, you've been such a good friend because,
You
know, your faith is authentic, and I learn from it. So thank
wow.
you for that.
Well, I appreciate that. We don't hear that a lot, and sometimes I do because I was, you know my story, I was lukewarm for so many years. I didn't care, and I just was going through the motions, as so many people do, not just Catholics, but Protestants. We all have this tendency, I think, sometimes, if we're not careful, to go through the motions. And it's great that we can help one another. You can help me by your experiences. I can help you with what I've gone through. And together, we're on this road to grow closer to the Lord, to try to do the best we can on our ongoing conversion process, right? I mean, that's what it's all
exactly.
about.
And you know, Gary, this is exactly why I wrote this book. Because I wanted, first of all, I love the title too. I didn't pick it. The publisher actually did.
It's a great title.
Wow, this is awesome. It's tremendous. But I wanted it to appeal to people who just weren't quite there.
Mm.
You know, people who kind of looked at the church with a skeptical eye. And I really wanted this to be something that faithful Catholics would pick up and they would read it and they would be encouraged because it's part conversion story. And then it talks also about a number of stumbling blocks, things that people come across that are impediments, difficulties that they have to struggle through to get to the church. But, you know, I also wanted it to be something that they would buy and then give away
to
other people.
Yes.
So that they, you know, so they say, hey, this, you know, check out this book. And it's not this, you know, blatantly sort of Catholic book that a lot of people would just sort of set aside. It's maybe they're, hopefully they're intrigued by the title and drawn in through the conversion story, because I don't hold back a lot. You know,
I love that. And Kevin, listen, I'm up against a break. Could you stick around for a minute? I want to continue this discussion. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
All right, you're the man. We'll be right back on Spirit in the Morning, 7:46 right now. Stay tuned for more of Kevin Lowry.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
There's so much we have lost as we look down the road where all the prodigals have walked. One by one, the enemy is whispered lies and led them off as slaves. But we know that you are God, yours is the victory. That we may not yet see. So with the faith you've given us, we'll step into the valley unafraid. Yeah. As we call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. We call out to dead hearts, come alive, come alive. God of unrelenting love, rescue every daughter, bring us back the wayward sons, and by your spirit breathe upon them, show the world that you alone can save.
That's brand new from Lauren Daigle, Come Alive, Dry Bones. That's the message for all of us. We are out there preaching as Ezekiel did in the Valley of the Dry Bones, preaching, spreading the good news, and that's what we try to help you with here at Spirit in the Morning. Right now, the time is 7:51. Bible verse, the Be Not Afraid Bible verse coming up. But before the break, we were talking with Kevin Lowry, and I wanted to continue this discussion for a few more minutes. Kevin's such a cool person. He's written a new book about how God hauled him kicking and screaming into the Catholic Church. You can follow Kevin at gratefulconvert.com. Now, Kevin, before the break, first of all, I really appreciate you sticking around with me to talk about this a little bit more. Before the break, we were talking about the difference between cradle Catholics and converts, in that we can learn from one another. We're all on the journey. Kevin, in your book, you talk about all of the various stumbling blocks that you encountered, but you end with the worst stumbling block of all, me. You were the worst stumbling block of all, and I loved it because you mentioned that you've heard countless stories over the years of Catholics going through the motions. And we tend to blame other people. We tend to blame the music. We tend to blame the priest. But you point out that you're responsible for that, and you have to do something.
Yeah. Yeah, and I got to tell you, that was a tough chapter to write.
I bet it was.
And at the same time, it just continues to be reinforced to me how important it is to treat other people with love.
Wow.
You know, I was actually just talking to a guy last week who is he was a cradle Catholic, and he fell away from the church, and he's a great guy. I mean, this guy has dedicated a lot of his life to publishing, and he's, if you were to meet him, you would just love him. He's a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I found out that what was going on underneath a little bit was that he had been away from the church for, 20-25 years. And so I was trying to get his story a little bit, and it turns out that when he got married, he went to see the parish priest about being there at the wedding, so that it would be a sacramental marriage.
Yeah.
But he hadn't been as active in that church, and he had been going with his wife, or his, fiancé at the time, to her non-Catholic church. So the priest actually said to him, I don't even know you. And effectively, that one line, the way he was treated by this particular priest. Now, this is an exception, obviously, right?
Sure.
I'm not going to harangue priests because I know so many awesome priests. But just because, maybe the guy was having a bad day or just something, but the interactions that we have with others are so critically important. And sometimes it's not the big stuff that we think is important. It's the little things of every day, and those things really make a difference. And I've never heard anybody who has said, I was successfully argued into the church. But I know countless people who are Catholic today because other Catholics have loved them.
Wow.
And that love changes their life. So that's what we need to remember, is that, even when we think nobody's looking, that our actions need to be animated by the Holy Spirit. And when we talk to others, when we interact with others, we have to try to be that reflection of Christ.
That is so important. I love the fact that the Holy Spirit takes over the show. I call the Holy Spirit the ultimate producer of this program. What you're saying is exactly the point I was making earlier in the show when I was talking about Pope Francis' message in his general audience on Wednesday, that we must preach. I mean, we must practice what we preach. He's talking about we've got to we're responsible to do spiritual works of mercy. We have to instruct the ignorant. We have to counsel the doubtful, etc. We have to admonish the sinner. But we've got to love them first, and it's all got to be done out of love. And I think there's a danger sometimes. We see a lot of this on social media of being so zealous about proclaiming the good news that we're ready to smack people with our catechisms or a Bible, right, Kevin? We want to slug them and say, what do you mean you don't believe this?
I think that's absolutely true, Gary. It's so funny that you say that, because just last night I went to my local Legatus group, which I love, and so many great people. And our speaker was Sister Helena Burns, who, you may know, and others may know. And she made the point. She said, you know, one of the biggest impediments to Catholic evangelization online is Catholic trolls, essentially.
Yep.
You know, people who are just jerks.
That's right.
Online. And it's like
That's
there's
right.
such an inconsistency.
That's...
So, but again, it comes back to us.
Yep.
You know, us first. We have to recognize, and I've got challenges in this, and, you know, I'm not always in a good mood. We're emotional beings. I mean, you know, we have bad days, all this other stuff. But we still, as you say, the Holy Spirit has to be, you know, really the driver for us. And I think that there's an opportunity that we can do that. And sometimes, of course, we don't do such a good job, but
right.
that this is why we need to begin again over and over.
That's right. It's all part of that process. It's all part of asking the Holy Spirit to help us. Kevin, I am up against the clock right now. I want to have you back on the show again. Would you be able to come on again sometime?
I would love to, my friend.
You're one of my favorite people. You know that, right, brother?
Right back at you.
And thank you, man. I want to share you with everyone here in the Delaware Valley listening to the program. Kevin, the best place to get the book and to follow you online, would that be gratefulconvert.com?
Yeah, gratefulconvert.com and hopefully a local Catholic bookstore.
Excellent. We're going to have that linked. We're going to have your website linked at spiritinthemorning.com. Brother, it was so great to be on with you again. We'll be back in touch. We'll get you on the air again.
Thank you, Gary. I appreciate it.
God bless you, Kevin. Take care.
You too.
All right. Thanks, man. Kevin Lowry. You can find him online at gratefulconvert.com. Man, that was a great conversation. Not due to anything I said, but Kevin's just he's an amazing guy, and I love speaking to him. Okay, the Be Not Afraid Bible verse of the day. This is a simple one. Matthew 17:7. This comes from the Transfiguration. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and do not be afraid." That's it. You better believe it. That's it. That's your message today. Rise and do not be afraid. Matthew 17:7. As you go about your business today, relax. The Lord is with you. Sound good? All right, let's close in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God, our Father, you conquer the darkness of ignorance by the light of your word. Strengthen within our hearts the faith you have given us. Let not temptation ever quench the fire that your love has kindled within us. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, that brings another episode of Spirit in the Morning to a close. My thanks to Kevin Lowry for joining us. My thanks to Dave Parker for being my co-pilot today. Remember to let me know what you think about Christmas music. When should we start playing it? Gary@HolySpiritRadio.org. Also, let Mr. Parker know, maybe if you have a trivia question that you would like him to ask me on the air. You can reach Dave at DaveParker@HolySpiritRadio.org. Looking forward to joining you on Monday as we start another week of Spirit in the Morning. Kelly Mantone will be joining us, helping us to calm down and not freak out during Advent, even before Advent kicks in. So we're going to talk about that on Monday. Judy Klein on Tuesday, Teresa Peterson on Wednesday. Hope you have a wonderful weekend. This Sunday is the Solemnity of Christ the King. We're going to be closing out the liturgical year this Sunday. We're 1 week away from Advent. Get ready. The Lord is coming. Have a blessed weekend. Remember, wherever you go, the Lord is with you. Be not afraid. God bless you.